Amen. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you that we come together and worship. We thank you, Lord, for your goodness and your love. And Lord, I do want to pray, especially for the people just traveling on this holiday, and keep them safe, God. We just ask you to just be their protection. And God, I pray you would just speak with us this morning, you know, truly be our teacher as you show us things that in your word and your sovereign hand, I pray you open our minds to understand how you're moving. And so, God, I pray you would just anoint me. I just speak words of the Spirit, and I pray you would just open each and everyone's heart in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen. Well, the title to this message is Governing Authorities. Now, isn't that a great message for Memorial Day? Or the previous, okay, I guess Memorial Day is tomorrow, Governing Authorities. And I must add, I didn't plan this. It just, as you know, we're just going through the book of Romans. And this week, here we are, you know. So I think by God's sovereign hand, he decided to have this message on Memorial Day. Now, I'm going to turn in the book of Romans, be looking at chapter 13 and verses 1 through 7. And that's where we are. Just as before I read, and I'm going to read all seven verses, I'm going to go through this. But what's interesting to me, when I look at it, we look at the book of Romans, it's very systematic, okay? I mean, it's in a particular order for a particular reason to reveal the fullness of what God wants us to know. I mean, it's the order is really significant in this book. And with that, I find it unusual that verses 1 through 7 are placed here. It seems not consistent with everything else God was doing. So I know that if there's any issue with that, that's the issue is with me. It's not with God. So as we look at this, I want us to think about that the Lord, as he's revealing how he works with us and what he's told us, that he saw fit at this time to put this information about governing authorities because he felt we needed it at this particular time. So I leave it up to you to ask the Lord, say, exactly what was your point? Why did you put this here? So this section is on governing authorities, and I'm just going to read through these verses and we're going to talk about it a little bit. Romans chapter 13, verse 1 goes like this. Let every person be subject to governing authorities. For there is no authority except from God, and those that exist have been instituted by God. Therefore, whoever resists the authorities resists what God has appointed, and those who resist will incur judgment. For rulers are not a terror to good conduct, but to bad. Would you have no fear of the one who is in authority? Then do what is good, and you will receive his approval. For he is God's servant for your good. But if you do wrong, be afraid, for he does not bear the sword in vain. For he is God's servant, an avenger who carries out God's wrath on the wrongdoer. Therefore, one must be subject not only to avoid God's wrath, but also for the sake of conscience. For because of this, you pay taxes. For the authorities are ministers of God, attending to this very thing. Pay to all what is owed them. Taxes to whom taxes are owed, revenue to whom revenue is owed, respect to whom respect is owed. Honor to whom honor is owed. I was like, gracious. it's really clear what he's saying here. You know, some people think, well, God didn't understand our situation. Well, when this was written, it's interesting. When you look at the time this was written, Caligula was emperor for 7 years, and he was like, trying to couch what he was. He's nuts. I mean, he's just absolutely out of his mind, okay? He was authoritarian. Then Claudius came, was after him. And, I mean, this is the time frame that this was written. And Claudius came from him, and he got, for he wasn't that bad of a ruler for Rome, but he got really upset with the Jews and stuff and kicked the Jews and Christians out of Rome and got rid of them because they were causing some problems. And who replaced Claudius was Nero. And Nero, at the end of his life, is the ones where you hear the thing about all the Christians were thrown to the lions. It happened. Well, it did happen. But it happened under Nero. Okay. So you go, now whatever's going on now, it's not as bad as what was going on then. Okay. So it's like, okay, Lord, what are you telling us here? So that's what we want to look at. Well, first of all, it's really clear what he's telling us. That's the wrong question. It's like, okay, I see what you're telling us, and he's giving us some information to help us operate in this world that we need to take, really pay close attention to. So, as we look at this in Romans chapters 1 through 12, God is basically saying, when we understand this, he says, you are fully equipped as servants of Christ. Now you're equipped, okay? Now is fully equipped servants of Christ. Why? Because of chapters 1 through 12, all right? Now I'm going to give you some instructions on dealing with governing authorities who seem to be running the world. So as mature believers, we realize that God works through governing authorities, okay? So what we have here in this section, we see the hand of God moving through governing authorities. And that's what it says. This is what this says. Now, I'm just going to highlight some of the things I just read, okay, from these verses. What the Lord said about authorities. There is no authority except from God, and those that exist have been instituted by God. Whoever resists authorities resists what God has appointed. Authorities are God's servants for good. Authorities are servants of God. Authorities are ministers of God. So it's like, you need to pay attention to the authorities because God's hand is working in authorities. And authorities are over all peoples, all kinds, and all situations in which Christians are a part of. So the message is here to authorities. Now, if you're like me, you read that and you go, really? Really? Yes. This is what God said. So we have a view of authorities that should put us in a little bit of awe. We should be careful to, you know, the Bible says later on, says pray for your authorities. All of them. That means right here, who are these guys praying for at the time the book was written? Pray for Caligula, pray for Claudius, and pray for Nero. Now, this is governing authority, so it's not just the president. It's all those that filter down through it, governing authorities. This goes down to the county governments, you know. I think it even goes down to your workplace. These are people in authority. In authority, all right? Therefore, it's like God's hand is on these people in authority. And so as Christians, we see that. We see that. You know, it's like you can be at your job and you want to get together with some fellow workers and say, let's get together and talk about the boss. You know, it's like, you better talk nicely about the boss. You know, because God says he's an authority. Therefore, God's going to use him as a minister in your life. You see what? That's what this says. This is what this says. And so one needs to pay attention to the authorities in which you are involved in. And the authorities that are in our lives. Now, Proverbs declare, so the point is you see God's hand in authorities. And God's, does God move and control the world? I'll ask you that question so you can answer. Does God move and control the world? Yes. Amen. Does he work through authorities? Yes, he does. He works through authorities. And it's like, well, I don't understand it. Well, that's true. I don't understand it either, but that's the truth. Okay? So as we see things happening, we understand that truth, and so we step into it with a little bit of awe and trepidation, right? It's like, and I'm being serious, kind of, you know, exaggerating a little bit. Like, let's get around and five of us at office and talk about our boss. Now, biblically, I don't think you should do that. I don't think you should do that. Because biblically, you're violating God's principle. And it said, God has authority to punish you for your disobedience. What's your disobedience? Resisting authority. And I do believe it goes to that level. So what it is, we pay attention. We pay attention to what's going on around us. Now, I could go through a lot of examples, but I'm not going to do that. I think you can think of your own examples. You know, it's like, wait a minute, all right? But listen, I just want to go through here as we understand this principle, and then we can make it the application in our own lives and understanding what is happening around us. What is happening around us? You know, in Proverbs, it declares God's sovereignty over governing authorities. He's sovereign over governing authorities. I was talking to someone the other day, and he was talking about Babylon and King Nebuchadnezzar, who was at the time the most powerful person in the world, you know. And God, for several years, turned him into a beast. Said they had him, they didn't know what to do with him. They just kind of had him in the backyard, and he's eating grass, you know. If God wants to, you know, he'll do what he wants to. Well, the thing of it is, he is doing what he wants to. We just can't figure it all out. So we look at this picture. Something is going on with authorities, and God says, be careful resisting authorities. No, he's not even saying resist. Be careful. He said, don't resist authorities, because I'm moving. They've been appointed by me. Okay, Proverbs 21:1. Here's the truth. The king's heart is a stream of water in the hand of the Lord. He turns it wherever he wills. Wow, God, I don't know what you're doing. No, but I'm doing something. You know, I don't have to check in with you before I do it. You know, you're having a problem, you know, just with your job and paying your mortgage. I'll handle the world. You see what I'm saying? So there's the principle. Fascinating. Now, also, you see places where Jesus substantiates. Jesus, of all people, God on earth, Jesus substantiates this principle. Jesus is standing before Pontius Pilate. And Pontius Pilate says to him, don't you realize I have authority to save you or crucify you? That's what Pontius Pilate said to Jesus. Now, I wouldn't make a good Jesus. I just wouldn't. I go, you ain't got nothing. Man, I tell you what, you won't have it out right now. I'll show you who's boss. Well, no, that's not what Jesus said. Here's what Jesus said to Pontius Pilate. When Pontius Pilate says, I have authority over you. In Rome, in John, Gospel of John, chapter 19, verse 11, Jesus answered him, you would have no authority over me at all unless it had been given you from above. You're here because God put you here, and that's the only reason you have authority. Romans chapter 13, verse 1 through 7. Jesus, yeah, you got authority. But the only reason you have authority, because it was instituted by God, given to you by God, and you're only exercising the authority that God has given you, which has been, at this time, will be used to crucify Jesus. Yeah, I know what's going on.
Okay? Y'all with me? I mean, it's like, whoa. See, so the principle, you see, the principle is all the way there. And we say, well, you know, stuff's happening all around us. And God says, I've taught you a lot, but I want you to know what's kind of happening in the world so you can help get through this. The Apostle Paul, I mean, he was a fireball evangelist. He was persecuted by the Romans. He was persecuted by the Jews. And, I mean, he was just, you know, stood his ground. 3/4 of the New Testament's by him. And so he comes up for trial in the last part of the book of Acts. And so when they accuse him of all this stuff, this is what he says. Acts 25:8. Here's Paul's defense. They accuse him of all this stuff. Paul argued in his defense, neither against the law of the Jews, nor against the temple, nor against Caesar have I committed any offense. I didn't do it. What does that mean? Paul totally submitted himself to the authorities. The issues they had with him were not about being disobedient to authorities. They accused him. He said, no, you can't find anything on me. Look, there's nothing. Nothing. Not against the Jews, not against the law, not against Caesar, which at the time would have been Nero. I ain't done anything, Nero, or his law. That's what he says. Okay, so you see his principle, the whole thing's flowing down. So God is telling us something that is like, wow, it helps us to understand our situation. And then I start making sense. Okay, the Lord has told us all the things in chapters 1 through 12 about operating in the power of God and being a spirit-filled Christian, we should be. He goes, okay, now this is what's going on in the world. I just want to let you know, this is what you're stepping into, and this is what's going into the world. And me and you need to be in step, because this is what's happening in the world. In the world. Now, okay, we say, in fact, I could guess and think about what some of you are thinking, because it's the same thing I'm thinking. It's like, but God, do you really understand my situation? You know, and I think he probably does. But this is the norm, and this is the principle we must find. But also in Scripture, it says this. We have this norm, but also Scripture tells us that the devil himself has limited authority. Now, I mean, that was... I mean, if you really want to crack down God, I mean, you could have started there. But the devil has limited authority in this world, and he's running free, and evil is tied up with him. It's to kill and destroy, specifically God's people. 1 John 5:19 says this, the whole world lies in the power of the evil one. Okay, now do you see the clash coming? Okay. I appointed the leaders, and I'm working my plan, and the devil is, the whole world lies in his power. Well, we got a conflict, we got a clash coming, but guys, I'm telling you how to operate in this world, because this is what's going on here. See, as believers, we know that governor authorities are not the true enemy, all right? The true enemy is the corrupt evil of the devil himself. Now, people, you know, have your own fleshly sinful natures and stuff that can go a long ways to cause a lot of havoc, and that is true, you know. But there's also an evil in the world. There's also an evil in the world that's bound up in the devil. So we recognize that. And this is in Ephesians 6:12. Ephesians 6:12 says this, we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. Now we pause there and say, yes, we do. I mean, you know, I haven't had a fight with myself in a long time. No, we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against rulers, against authorities, against cosmic powers over this dark, over this present darkness, against spiritual forces of evil in heavenly places. So what the Lord, when we put all this together, you go, well, this huge dynamic. Do any of you feel like maybe this is bigger than I can handle? this is too big for me. It's like, my goodness. But the Lord's just telling us in Romans 13, says, no, I got this. I got this, all right, when we look at that. Now, so when you think about this and you think about governing authorities and God is working through governing authorities. Oh, by the way, this is something you can kind of squirrel away and put in the back of your mind. When you have a governing authority and you're working within that governing authority, and when you just say, I'm not doing what you say, and you remove yourself from that governing authority, do you know what that is? Got the picture. You're under a governing authority. I'm not doing it. And you move yourself out. It's called rebellion. Who's the biggest one who rebelled in the biggest way? Satan. I'm not going to be under God. Move myself out. His makeup is rebellion. Those who pull from governing authorities and rebel are in step with the mindset of Satan, and therefore he uses them, and it's a rebellious attitude. But I'm right. Well, that's the reason you left, because you're right. And you're also rebellious. And it also carries you to situations before your own destruction. You see, I mean, he's just given some insight. He's given us some insight here. So we recognize this, like, oh my gosh, what is happening here? Now, therefore, let's take this back up to from your job situation to the world. It feels better to talk about the world than the job situation. Well, just look at the world, okay? Well, if God is telling us a truth here, therefore, based on this truth, we see national conflicts, right? We see national conflicts. Therefore, what national conflicts reveal is a greater spiritual conflict going all around us. Right? Why? Because God appointed and raised up leaders. They're ministers of God. And the whole world. And you see this conflict, and Satan is in control of the whole world. And you see this conflict. It's a spiritual conflict. So when we see the world is like going to hell in a handbasket, so man, there's stuff happening in the spiritual that's even greater than the physical. And we as believers go, yep, that's what's happening. But God's winning, God's moving, we're on the winning side. And God's giving this insight. Amen? You see what he's saying? That's what's happening here. And so, again, we have insight. Now, and just to show you that, so it kind of pays attention to see the conflicts all around the world, all right? You can say, gosh, it's just not peace and skipping along in the, you know, nice meadow. It's like, man, it's a mess. Spiritually, there's a huge conflict going on. And that's the reason it can't be solved on the physical level. Y'all with me? It can't be solved on a physical level. Because the more, the greater war is in the spiritual level. We know that. Who has access to the spiritual level to engage God in the spiritual level? Who has access? Believers. What did God tell us? And he says this in 1 Timothy. Pray for your leaders. Because you have access. I'll work through you to pray for the leaders that I have appointed. So the church and the people have access to cooperate with God, what he's doing worldwide. Amen? You see? Now you'll understand also, and I can't, you know, this is kind of my hobby horse, why I got so irritated. Now, I pray for our governor. All right? Sort of. I work on it. I pray for. But he said the church is non-essential. I said, no, you don't tell me that. You don't tell me that. You can tell the rest of it, but don't tell me that, because you're dead wrong. You're dead wrong. See, because what he's overstepped his boundaries into saying something that's absolutely false. You know. So Praise God for this country. The Supreme Court overrode him and everybody else, you know. So there's still some covering here with authorities within the United States. You see what I'm saying? But you understand, you can kind of see what's going on there and what's happening. So it's good to pay attention in the sense that something is going on to everything that's happening in the world. It's like, wow, stuff is happening. Stuff is happening. And God is moving in a powerful, supernatural way. Now, I want to use this. I just love this. Habakkuk. And it's a short book. It's kind of fun to read. You read it. And Habakkuk. And what I feel close to Habakkuk. Because he just complains. He just complains, the whole thing. I mean, he just complains. And he goes, God, what are you doing? I mean, that's basically what are you doing? You know, and I don't understand what you're doing. And so Habakkuk tells God, and you know, that's kind of bad. You shouldn't be doing that anyway. I told God. So that didn't work out well. But Habakkuk told God, said, I don't know what you're doing. It doesn't make any sense to me. God answered him. Okay, here's Habakkuk. I don't understand what's going on with my life. And God says, and he speaks to him. And this is what God's answer to Habakkuk is. Pay attention. Habakkuk, chapter 1, verse 5. He says, Habakkuk, look at the nations and see, wonder, and be astounded. For I'm doing a work in your days that you would not believe if told. He says, there it is. He just said, just look at the nations. See? Because you'd just be astounded. You wouldn't even believe it if I told you. That's his answer. See, that's our answer. Okay. Oh, okay. So I need to focus on what the Lord is telling me. But I pay attention. A lot of things are happening in the nations, but God is behind that. God is behind that. Now, here's an account we're all familiar with, but I'll share this, but it shows you how God can work and what he does when he wants to for his purposes. God doesn't just work willy-nilly, okay? He has a purpose. He is doing things that if he told us, we still wouldn't understand it, just what he said to Habakkuk. But the one we've seen before, and it's fascinating, is the one with Pharaoh. And in dealing with Pharaoh, we see how God works with governing authority. So you go, how many years ago? 4,000 years ago, something like that, 1,500 years ago. And it doesn't make any difference, Wallace. But anyway, a bunch of years ago, 3,000, okay. But so you have Pharaoh and you have Israel is captive by Egypt, okay, enslaved with Egypt. And so God says, okay, I'm going to save the Israelites. And so this is how he does it. Romans 9:17. For the scripture says to Pharaoh. Why is he talking to Pharaoh? Who cares what Pharaoh's doing? You know? I mean, it's like, anyway. For the scripture says to Pharaoh, for this very purpose I have raised you up. Wait a minute. He's the one that has the Israelites under in slavery. He's the one who did it. He actually did it. For this very purpose, I have raised you up, that I might show my power in you, and that my name might be proclaimed in all the earth. But he was bad. That's right. He raised him up for that purpose. That purpose. And you've got the nine plagues of Egypt. You know, the Canaan Pharaoh, he wouldn't move, you know. And then he finally gave in, you know. And it's like, for this very purpose I've raised you up, that I might show my power in you. In the Israelites? No, in Pharaoh. He overrode Pharaoh. In Pharaoh, that my name might be proclaimed in all the earth. Okay? God appointed Pharaoh. God enthroned Pharaoh. Pharaoh became a minister of God. In fact, at the end, you know what Pharaoh said? Get out. Get out. And tell all the people, just give you all the stuff. Just get out. Leave town. Get out of Dodge. So he's a minister of God. Okay. Now I want you to think. Now about plague three. Say plague three of the nine. What would we be thinking? What would we be thinking? Come on, God. This is not good. This is not good. In fact, I love it. When you read the section, the people of Israel came back to Moses and told him, because he stood before Pharaoh and says, this is what's going to happen. And it started happening. The people of Israel said, look what you got us into. They blame Moses. He said, Moses, I didn't do it. He just told me, you're the guy that went, and we're here because of you. So they're mad at Moses, you know, like that. But no, it wasn't Moses. It was God dealing with Pharaoh. Moses didn't do anything. You know, his staff turned to a snake. What did Moses do with that staff? In the name of Jesus, turned to a snake. You know? No. He said, throw it on the ground. He just threw it on the ground. Turned to a snake. He got, son of a gun. Yeah. I mean, that's what Moses did. Now, so what I'm saying, the point of it is, you see the principle lying there that we don't have all the answers, but it clearly says, for this very purpose I've raised you up. What does Romans 13 says? I establish authorities. I raise them up because I'm going to do something through them. Now, when you look at this and you think about it, you think we need to pay attention to the natures, to the nations, what's going on. Not to be worried, but something's going on. It's happening. Something is going on. By the way, we win. Okay, and it's like, we're kind of, or if you're like me, you're kind of, I'm like the Israelites in Egypt about plague six, going, okay, enough of this, God. Then I don't see anything coming out of this stuff. So, you know, you're not supposed to know it. You're supposed to trust me and let me do what I do. So sometimes we are living our life like now, like we're in the middle of plague six. You know, it's, oh, you'll be better tomorrow. No, it's plague seven. It's, Lord, you know. But it's like God is doing something, and we're aware that something is happening. Oh, amen? You see, so this ties back into what it says in Romans chapter 13, verses 1 through 7. Now we understand why God put it there. Because he spent the first 12 chapters telling us how to trust him, walk in his power, and look to him. And we, okay, we got you. You think so? Here's Romans 13. Because this is where you got to do it. Yeah. So fascinating, So we need to pay attention to the nations. Also, I think the title, what the Lord uses here is governing authorities. I think we have to pay attention to every authority in our life. Don't just blow them off. All right? Pay attention. Now, so we have an insight there. So we know that in our situations, through authorities, that God is doing an astonishing work in our day. All right? So I can tell everyone today, God is doing astonishing work. How do I know that? Because God just told us that. Now, I don't know all the details I had, but stuff is happening. Don't be discouraged. Move forward. And God is taking care of his people. He's taking care of his people. His people is the answer. His people is how God's going to work through to change things. Governor Northam, the church is essential. Buddy, what are you thinking? You see what I'm saying? So we know that. We know what's going on here. Now, I'm going to make a little left turn here, okay? We're still on authorities, but I'm stepping out a little left turn. I just want to mention to you is while we're watching nations, okay? I'm going to come back and get back where I was. But while we're watching nations, I think it's important that one of the nations we should pay attention to is the nation of Israel. We should pay attention. Now, again, we don't have anything to do with it, But we need to pay attention, because what the Bible says is that God works through Israel, and He'll continue to work through Israel through the end of times. And so when we look at it, I look at this, my personal opinion, my words, I feel like Israel's like God's time clock. Gosh, I don't know when, I don't know what's happening, what's God doing in eternity, what's His, you know, range of time, how do you know when's going to, anything's going to happen, and you don't. You live out your life following God and doing what He says. However, Israel is God's time clock, because you can look at them and kind of see where God's moving, because they always are in His picture, and He ultimately will use them at the end of times. Okay? So we just need to pay attention. I want to read a verse to you, and just something you can think about. And this is in Zechariah. And Zechariah, this is 500 years before Christ. And in Zechariah, he tells Israel what God's going to do with them at the end of times. Okay, so this is what Zechariah is saying. 5 years before the time of Christ, he said, now listen, this is what's going to happen to Israel before Jesus comes back. When you put that, you want to hear? Here it is. Zechariah 12, 1 through 3. The oracle of the word of the Lord concerning Israel. Thus declares the Lord, who stretched out the heaven and founded the earth and formed the spirit of man within him. I always, when I read that, God goes, this is my credentials. It's like, oh, okay, gosh, you kind of can do anything you want to. Because that's what God just said. This is my credentials, and I'm saying this. All right? Just in case you have a question. Verse 2. Behold, God's saying this. Behold, I am about to make Jerusalem. Can you believe that? How many cities you know that you can call by name that are 2,500 years old? You know, how many? But this same one. Okay, behold, I'm about to make Jerusalem. This is now a cup of staggering to all the surrounding peoples. Have you watched the news? Have you? I'm going to make Jerusalem a cup of staggering for all the surrounding peoples. I mean, Israel's like the size of Maryland. I mean, I don't know, maybe it's bigger. It's not big as nothing. It's not big. It's a little bitty. Get the map, look at it. Like Maryland. I'm going to make Jerusalem, the city in Maryland, a cup of staggering to all the surrounding peoples. Everybody is just going to just... The siege of Jerusalem will also be against Judah. Verse 3, on that day I will make Jerusalem a heavy stone for all the peoples. You know, it always fascinates me by any, you know, prejudice is awful, but being anti-Semitic, not like Jews. I don't know, you know, this is the honest God truth. I didn't even know what Jew was until I was 25. I didn't have a clue. I mean, I just, West Texas, nobody told me. And I just, fine. But there, Jerusalem is going to be a heavy stone for all the peoples. I mean, everybody, you got something the size of Maryland, and all the peoples is going to become a heavy stone. It's an irritation. It's an irritation to the world. If you've watched the news for that, today, Jerusalem is an irritation. Israel is an irritation. And I'm not being political. I'm just saying to observe something. You had a group of people in Palestine itself, and I'm not getting the politics, but they fired like thousands of rockets into Israel. Thousands. Our press said, and then Israel defended themselves. They really did defend themselves. I mean, it's like, really, you know. But the press says, well, they shouldn't have done that. They shouldn't have defended themselves. They're the aggressors. And I just like, wait a minute, you just had thousands of rockets shot in your country, and you defended and you blamed Israel. Jerusalem is a heavy stone for all peoples. Irritation. They don't like them. They don't want them there. They don't like Maryland being in between Virginia and Pennsylvania. They don't like it. It's just a spot. It's just a spot. Okay. Now again, this is 2,500 years ago. And it says, goes on, all who lift it, this stone that's making them stagger, will hurt themselves. I mean, you know what that means? You fire 1,000 rockets at me? Shouldn't have done it. Because we'll come back at you. Back at you. There's a nuclear plant. And this is not political. I'm just saying information. There's a nuclear plant that is building in Syria. Gosh, nobody knew what to do. Israel blew it up. Maryland. Everybody's mad. You see what I'm saying? So as you're watching something, just pay attention. See, sometimes God's telling us something and we're not having a clue. What do we have to do about that? Nothing except like stuff is happening. And it's like people around the world hate Israel. Like I said, it's not as big as Maryland. Y'all can check me. It may be twice as big. I have any idea. But it's not very big. And the whole world is mad at them. You know, I don't know about you. I didn't even know whether there was an Israel until I was 25. I didn't think about them. Who cares? You know, but the whole world is mad at them back then. And their prophecy is going to happen. So it ends with this in Zechariah. Here you are, Maryland, in my metaphor, Maryland in the whole world. I mean, Maryland's not a bit too big in the United States. They got Maryland, size of Maryland, in the whole world, and the whole world's mad at Maryland. You know, the state. The last sentence goes, and all the nations of the earth shall gather against Israel. What? So what I'm saying is like, say, well, I don't know what. No, we know more than what we know. We should just pay attention. Pay attention. See? Because God's told us something here. And the biggest thing he told us, right, he is moving and he is doing things. We just don't understand it. And with the things of Israel, I'm not saying they've done right, wrong, or anything. But when you see that, when God says, no, I'm going to move there. And how I'm going to move there, I'm going to make everybody hate them. Okay, you know, that wouldn't have been my plan. But, oh, that's okay. Anyway, why did I go through? I told you I was making a deviation. It's just the whole point of view is God is moving in this world. He is moving, and he's telling us. He's telling us, and we know. So, now here we go. Let's get back here. All this may be real interesting, fascinating thing, but the question is, how do we navigate this world? Okay, let's make it. How do we navigate day to day? How do we navigate? And how are we to submit to governing authorities when they're acting contrary to God's commandments or requiring us to violate God's commandments? What do we do? Well, as we learned last week, is that Christians are to be peaceful, loving, and kind. Okay, that's what last week, okay, just before 13. In fact, that's what the verse just before the ones on government says, be peaceful, overcome evil with good. Don't do evil to overcome evil with evil. Overcome evil with good. Be loving, peaceful, and kind. Okay, so how do we function in this world that's swirling around us? Well, I don't have an overhead for that, but the early church ran into that, okay? Be under authority, don't cause problems, don't cause riots, you know? Be loving, be kind, you know? But you have to make a stand. And what if the government says, you can't do what God told you to do? Acts chapter 4, verse 18 through 20. There's no overhead. And this is what happened to the very early church. It says, stop talking about Jesus. Verse 18. So they called them and charged them, do not speak or teach at all in the name of Jesus. Had this. Stop it. That's the government. That's the government. Stop it. But Peter and John answered them, whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you rather than to God, you judge. For we cannot but speak of what we have seen and heard. Can't stop. See, that's when you make a step. It's like, no, I can't. You can't tell me. You know, I didn't break any of your laws. I didn't think. Good citizen. But don't tell me not to speak about Christ. You see? Later on, the apostles restate the truth. I have overhead for this one. Acts 5:29. But Peter, and this is important because God's telling us how we work in this situation of this world in which he's moving. Acts 5:29. But Peter and the apostles answered, we must obey God rather than men. There it is. Now, God is telling us, now he's told us, he's given us 12 chapters, so we understand what it is to be a Christian. We understand our responsibility. But at any point, we must obey God rather than men. Doesn't make any difference who the authority is. See? Because the ultimate authority is God. He said, you do, don't you be a rabble-riser. You keep all the laws. You do everything. But you always speak of me. You always speak of me. I have to, my buddy, some of y'all have been here a while, know why I said Polycarp. You know, I love Polycarp, okay? Okay, they burned Polycarp at the stake. He's about 80 or something like that. And there's the first century. He burned him at the stake. Do you know why? They burned Polycarp at the stake. He would not say Caesar was God. That was his violation in life. He hadn't done it. No. I didn't do anything wrong. I didn't think wrong. And he says, you can still claim Jesus is God, but just add Caesar. They just wanted to add Caesar, not even, you know, turn on Jesus. Just add Caesar. He says, no. Will not do it. And they burned him at the stake. See, I obey God rather than man. Totally consistent with Romans 13. You see? So we need to have some wisdom. But we do have wisdom. Why? Because he just gave us Romans chapter 1 through 12. See? He goes, now this is what's going to happen. You have to understand what's going on. So, therefore, we look to the nations, we see, we wonder, we're astounded, we are amazed, but we're not afraid, because God is looking on our behalf. And we have confidence because we are citizens of, finish that for me, we are citizens of what? Heaven. That's the reason. We're citizens of heaven. Philippians 3:20. But our citizenship is heaven. That's where our citizenship is in heaven. And from it, we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. See, so this helps us to understand how we function in this world, because we know where our citizenship is. Now, while here on the earth, we are ambassadors for Christ. And as ambassadors, we have an assignment. Amen? Okay? So, we're an ambassador. Our home is in heaven. And we're an ambassador for Christ here. What is an ambassador? I mean, this is a good definition. Ambassador. If it is an ambassador here from Germany, he would become German, okay? And then, but he's German. He's just visiting. So when he quits his assignment, he goes back to Germany. He didn't move to United States and, you know, buy a plan and no, he's going back. An ambassador has a message, comes forward, represents his country to the United States. Germany recognizes his country to the United States. When he goes back. So our citizenship is in heaven. What are we doing here? We're ambassadors here. We've been assigned here, and we have a message while we're here. But this isn't our home. Our citizenship. See, the whole, our mindset, everything changing, you know. And God's moving this place where we don't have residence, long eternal residence. God's moving in it, and we're here as God's ambassadors while he's doing his work. 2 Corinthians 5:20. 2 Corinthians 12:20. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. That's what ambassadors do. God's going to make appeal. God, speak. Open your mouth, Wallace. Yeah, that's how I speak. Therefore, we're ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. What's our message? What's our message? Be reconciled to God. That's what the ambassadors from heaven do. They come here on earth. We have an assignment and we have a message. Be reconciled to God. Be loving, kind, you know. Follow the rules. But your assignment is to proclaim Christ and say, be reconciled to God. That's what ambassadors do. We're from heaven. We're here as an ambassador, and we have a message. You know, some of them here say, I am accountant here. Well, that's your other job. Why you're here is to proclaim Christ. And you're using your expertise in accounting as an avenue to proclaim Christ. I am a, name it, you know. No, that's not your primary function. Primary function is to proclaim Christ. You're an ambassador with a message that people be reconciled to God, and I'll give you particular assignment, particular jobs, and particular things to open up avenues to do that, but it's just an avenue. Your assignment is to proclaim Christ and to reconcile people to God. See, it's all here. God's, I'm just telling you what's going on. But the world is going to hell. That's right. I got it. I'm moving. You do your job. You do your job. I'll take care of the rest of it. I mean, this is what it's saying. Kind of fascinating. So, as ambassadors, we have a message of how people are to be reconciled to God. We tell people about Christ. Like all, I don't know, some of you may have a different feeling about it. Like all ambassadors, once our assignment is complete, we are called home. Once we're done, okay, you're done. You did a good job. You're done, Wallace. Come home. Where do I go home? Where my citizenship is? Heaven. You just go home. See? But I don't want to stay here really, really bad. See, I'm here as an ambassador from Germany. They kind of do my job, and they say, come home to Germany. I don't want to go to Germany. I don't like Germany. I want to stay here. What a lousy ambassador you are, you know. Come home. If you don't come home, I'm going to send somebody to get you. Okay? God goes, you've done your job. You've done. Come home. Does that kind of switch our mindset? And God said, oh, by the way, the world, I'm working that world. You just be the ambassador with the message of reconciling people to God. Because by the time I get through with the world, they're going to want something. They're going to want something. I ain't going to make it happy for them. They're going to need a Savior, and you have the message. Now I'm going to scare the living daylights out of you. And this is just me, not biblically. I think some believers, God says, you know, I just think I'll take you home early because you ain't doing poop here. I'm just going to take you home. Man, I mean, just about worthless. We just come home, you know. Would God do that? Yes, I think he does. I have certain examples I think about where it's just like, no, you're coming home. Well, you hear, you have a message. You have an assignment. You're my ambassador. And when you finish your assignment, I'm going to bring you home. What if a guy from Germany, and I don't know why I picked up Germany, maybe it's because my daughter-in-law's from Germany. But if you got Germany, I'm going to send you to the United States. You're going to meet my ambassador. And when you finish your work, you're on your own, buddy. You buy your own ticket and come back when you can. Well, no, that's not what I did. No, when you finish your work, I'm going to bless you and I'm going to bring you back with all the angels of heaven to your home. See, that's God's mindset. That's how God thinks. And that's the reason we're looking at this. Now I'm thinking, that's the reason God put Romans 13 where he put it and divinely brought it to us on Memorial Day. Hallelujah. Amen. So, by the way, the message we have is clear. You know, sometimes, oh, I don't know what to say. But the message is really clear. It's very clear, direct, and not confusing. Here's the message. Acts 4:12. And there is salvation in no one else but Jesus. For there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. Period. That's it. That's what his ambassadors have. That's the message. That is their assignment. Okay? So, whatever job you have is a secondary assignment, is an avenue to share your primary assignment. See? I mean, then your attitude, everything just kind of changes. It's like, oh my gosh. And God is just telling you how he is moving in the world. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you. Lord, we think about these, just even the celebration, seeing some things on television, the multitude of people that have given their lives just so that we could have freedom here, have Christian freedom, have freedom of speech, have freedom of religion. Unbelievable tolls of people that have died, Lord, for us that we'd have this freedom. And Lord, that how you've used that in an amazing way. How you've used people in this country as an amazing light. With all its flaws, you've always had a trajectory of, you know, of freeing people and people coming to know you. We thank you for that, God. And so we want to praise those that have given their lives for you. And Lord, we want to ask you for wisdom to stand strong and carry out our assignment. Carry out our assignment, which is to tell people how to be reconciled to God. That's it. That's our job. And God, we thank you that we can be your ambassadors. And we thank you as we're your ambassadors. You know, you think about ambassadors. I don't think there's been any ambassador that has fought any war. Okay, they just carry messages. But the country behind the ambassadors, they move and they fight wars. So heaven behind us is your ambassador. You move, you fight wars, you move in this world, and we look at you in awe and thank you for your goodness. Thank you for our salvation. Thank you that we trust on the Lord Jesus Christ. Our sins are forgiven. We have a home in heaven, and we are reconciled to God because we are forgiven. Amen. Amen. We have Greg, our praise team. Adam is playing AWOL. Adam thought he had a weekend off and could go, you know, vacation someplace. And so, anyway, so Greg is back teaching the kids. But what I'd like to do is just as we think about the privilege it is to really look to the Lord and thank him for all those that have gone before us. And I just want to just a moment of silence in each one of us. Just thank God for the incredible privilege we have living in a country like this, and then also of anything that comes to mind to pray for people and just to pray for strength and wisdom and pray that God would just open doors, give us divine opportunities just to share people. God loves them. They're forgiven. What a good message. So just a few minutes of silence and just think about it. Just pray to yourself. Just pray to the Lord, asking him.